said, "You know, Mama, it's just clothes." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Like that was just, I just bursted in tears, knowing that why do I do this? Like, why do I do this? She doesn't even care about any of this stuff. So I knew at that age that I was letting it go.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And I have got a special episode today, Empowering Daughters, Unveiling the Ideal Balance. And for this episode, I have got an incredible guest here, Margaret Royce. I'd like to hand it over to you, Margaret. Please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And what does this topic mean to you?
Thank you, Blanca, so much for having me today. It's a topic that's dear to my heart that I love talking about. I am a registered nurse, a mother, a doula, and I facilitate girls' rites of passage workshops called The Journey to Womanhood for girls ages 10 to 13, and it includes their mothers and fathers. And I'm working on coaching one-on-one to supporting moms because I feel at this age is so transformative and it's so important to support the daughters and the mothers at this transformative time so that we can continue to nurture that bond between the mothers and daughters. So that's my focus. I'm writing a book, The Fearless Mother. It's in the works. And I'm just really passionate about this time in a girl's life and know how important it is for her and her mom.
Yeah, so wonderful. Now, we talked before, and you mentioned that your daughters are grown up a little and standing on their own feet or not. So I would love to dive into this topic too. So because you have experienced it, what was the hardest moment when you realized you had to let go of your daughter?
Boy, I feel like I have one daughter. I knew I wanted to have a daughter. I even read a book called How to Choose the Sex of Your Child. So it was I just knew that it was part of this lifetime that I was going to have a daughter. When I knew that I needed to let go of hers from the very young age, I would say 2-3 years old, where I knew that she had this beautiful personality, this beautiful love, this creativity that that needed to come out, even though I maybe wanted it to be another way. And I just remember one time she was like 3 and we were going to a Christmas party, and I had her all dressed up and she fell and she split her knees, like right at the knees, and the blood was going down the stockings into the shoes. And oh, I felt so bad. And she just looked at me and she said, "You know, Mama, it's just clothes." And I'm like, "Oh my God." Like that was just, I just bursted in tears knowing that why do I do this? Like, why do I do this? She doesn't even care about any of this stuff. So I knew at that age that I was letting it go. And we put her favorite little dress with the horse on, and she was just so happy just to be herself. And so from a very young age, she has been teaching me that I need to let her go. And she's a child of the future, and I'm just here just to guide her temporarily. So yeah, it's a hard one. It's hard.
So I can just imagine. My daughter is now 19 years, the oldest one, but and I also know that the letting go process is just, yes, in the middle. And similar to you, actually, that I thought, okay, if I have daughters, I have to, if you have boys, you also have to let them go. But yes. I think sometimes might be a little different. And I knew that I also had to let her go. And the process, if it starts with an early age of the daughters, I think you can get a little more familiar with it, would you say?
I don't know if it's familiar. I think the pain is just always there. I remember I started a YouTube channel, actually, in 2018, because I feel like we have to have this conversation of mothers, of letting go, and the grief that's behind it, the grief of identity, the grief of having them around. I mean, I love having her around. And so I started this video because it was so hard, like the identity of that person of who I enjoyed so much. mothering was incredible. It was incredible grief, and no one was talking about it. So I felt so alone. And it took me, when she went to college, I just remember crying all the way home and just like, what do I do now? I miss her. And she went to London again, you know, and but again in August. And oh my God, I mean, it took me 3 days of just sobbing it out. I mean, that's what I do. Very emotional. to get through the process, but I, it's like a death for me every, but I think what I've learned through this process of letting her go is that there's this another level that I get to experience with her.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, which no one's talking about. But it's like this deeper bond, this deeper intimacy. I get to see her flourish in ways that I didn't see in that first phase. Mm-hmm. You know, before the letting go, the next level of letting go, whatever that looks like. So I feel for moms, it's like, it's okay if letting go might be like, oh my God, I can't do that. But it's like, what if we did? And what is on the other side of that? Because the relationship I have with her, even all the way in London, is so profound to me. It awes me every single time that I can be in this amazing young woman's life. And because I'm her mom. I mean, we have the most important job in the world. So no one has that intimacy like I get to have. And I get to share her with the world. But when she comes back, it's just like this beautiful bond. And I feel like if we can start to nourish that when she becomes a woman, and if we can clean out a lot of our garbage that we have around that time of our life, that, and if we clean that out, we have this opening, this amazing bond to happen. And I want that for many, for all women. I mean, I didn't have that myself. Mm-hmm. I think in my cell or in somewhere in my soul that there was possible, because, you know, the ancient women always worked together and they mm-hmm. supported one another. And I just feel like we really lost that. And we really had to go mm-hmm. so far where the mother wound was so big. So now we can come back and do this in such a healthy way again. So, yeah, so that's what I love. I love supporting moms because it's what I've had to. What I've got to experience is really beautiful. And I feel like that there's this contract between mothers and daughters. I mean, it's not always like rosy, but there's this contraction, expansion, this contraction and expansion. So every time you contract into that, in that relationship where there's this, you know, trying to figure it out, there's this next expansion. So you're constantly going on the spiral and you're mm-hmm. evolving, both of you. You have an opportunity mm-hmm. to really learn about yourself and grow. And she does too, which I find that I don't think we're just touching the base of that. Like, I don't even think we even have words for that yet.
Yes.
But it is possible. I know it is possible. I'm experiencing it. And so that's what I would love for it to be shared with other mothers, knowing that it's possible for them too.
Oh, I love to hear this because mm-hmm. I think I'm always curious what's on the other side.
Yeah.
So, and even if it's hurting, if it's painful a little, so I always know there is something more on the other side. So let's just go for it. How do you fight the urge to control? And what would you tell a mom going through the same thing now?
Because sometimes you
want to control your kid. You want to, yeah, there is this part of letting go. And, but then she's leaving.
I feel that when we're looking at this control thing, it's like we need to understand why. And it's always coming back mm-hmm. to myself. Like, mm-hmm. where is this coming from? Where is this need to control? Where is this?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like doing my work. That's mm-hmm. what I feel like. It's like looking at, you know, what's blocking me from being free in myself?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to hold on? What am I scared of? So these are the questions that my daughter, whenever there is this whatever, it's like, okay, it's an opportunity for me to let go. Where am I being stuck? Where are these mm-hmm. feelings that want to be released? And so it's like constantly coming back to myself. So there's so many tools out there. With journaling and meditation. I mean, there's like so, what's amazing is like the internet, and it's like, if this doesn't fit you, then this might fit you. But like learning about yourself and why you're controlling, I think you know, seeing a therapist, talking to a good friend, whatever it is to unblock that, that's where I feel. And that's where I feel like that's where that opportunity for both of you to evolve is when you can look at why are you controlling? Because it's like we want to guide our children. We want them, we want to hold space and guide them just like a little tree, you know, with a little stick and guide them. But we're not controlling them to grow a certain way, because then that's just going to cause resistance and friction. And we've seen enough of that in our lifetime and experienced enough of that. So it's like, what if we can just keep working on ourselves and just guide them like a mother's supposed to be guiding them and loving them?
So you would just to, summarize a little, you would suggest to take this as your topic, as the topic for the mother who is in the struggle, and to say, okay, this is your question that you have to solve first, right? To ask yourself, why am I controlling? Why do I need this control? And go through this or go into this questions from different angles, like going to a therapist or journaling or meditate or speaking to a good friend to solve this question first. Is this what you said?
Yes. It's actually, okay. Dr. Shefali talks about conscious parenting. She's like the guru of conscious parenting. And it's so if you don't like something in your child, you know, what is it in yourself that you don't like? Just so constantly bringing it back to me, constantly bringing whatever the world is showing me, including my children, back to me. Yeah,
so great. What would you say is the biggest mistake mothers make when trying to protect their kids?
The control.
So protection is not controlling, right? Or is this?
I don't think so. I feel like a lot of times the biggest mistakes is wanting to relive your youth through your children. You know, a lot of times we feel like we have an opportunity to really, you know, maybe there's things that we didn't see as mothers when we see our daughters. So there's a time of just where we can get really triggered, especially it depends on how our past and how we were upbringing. And so I feel we really need to look at that. We really need to look at that is one of the biggest is just like thinking that you know everything that's best for your child. And when you allow them kind of know the best already for themselves and just humbly taking a step back and allowing that.
Yes. Though sometimes it feels hard for a mother to step back and let her do her job. But if you're able to experience what comes then, and it's so much more that you don't even knew. So I think you can trust the process here, right?
All about trusting the process. And I feel that we don't in this culture know how to do that very well. But when we do trust the process and by allowing them to, I think the hardest thing is of a mother is to watch your children fail. You want to, you know, catch them and save them. But we are standing in the way of an opportunity for them to learn. Of course, we don't want them to put their hand on the stove. Sometimes, you know, they have to learn that it's hot. And I think as a mother, there's this dance of when to say something and when to not. And I feel like that's when we're clearing out all the junk, get really in touch with our intuition, and then we can really trust when it is we step in, when do we step out, when do we step in. And it's a dance. It's never perfect. But I feel like there is this movement of when we step back and allow them. And then this builds confidence. They build responsibility for themselves. This is a time where, you know, we can't be doing everything because it's like how they wanted to go to college at the age of 18. Well, it's like, you know, where have we taught them? Are they able to understand all of these things? So it is a dance back and forth.
For sure. Yeah, so I think you just mentioned we don't want them to fail, but sometimes I think we should say something different than fail, because it's a course correction always, isn't it?
Oh,
and this is teaching so much, but we always say, oh, it's a failure, it's a mistake, it's wrong. And if we just address these words to the situation, it always feels wrong.
Yes,
instead,
that's very true.
To shift it into a positive way so that we can explore more and to say, okay, this is just life telling you it's the wrong way.
Yes.
Move on, but just change slightly.
Yes. And I feel like every time they're going through big transformations, like going from, we have high school here in the United States, going from like a high school to college, or, you know, those big, from one school to another school, or, mm-hmm. you know, making different teams or what in sports or whatever, where there's this huge transformation. It seems like that's when it's all, that's when that chaos starts coming in. And that's what you know, you're hearing saying, it's like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to learn. It seems like it all comes in one ball, like a big mess.
And yes.
Opportunity to like, okay, this is a lot for them. I feel you. I see you. And, you know, mm-hmm. okay, how are you going to figure this out? And so, but yeah. And
you know what? In Germany, we have got this saying, now serious life starts. Just hopping to the next level. Now the serious life starts.
Yes, there's all these levels.
But if you're a child, you don't perceive this way.
Oh,
you
right.
just think, okay, I just changed the school. I go to university. I do this. I do that. It seems so natural to move on. And so I think it's always how you perceive it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so why do you think? Yes, sorry.
And letting her perceive it. And I feel like if we see things as failures in our life, then she's going to see them too as failures.
Yeah.
I feel like how we, as a mother, as a woman, perceive life, that is going, she's going to mimic that. How we perceive mm-hmm. menstruation, she's going to perceive it too. Like how we think of sex or how we think of marriage, she's going to mirror that. So that's why mm-hmm. I feel like coming back into yourself, cleaning out the stuff, knowing who you are, not only benefits you, but also your daughter, who is energetically going to be mirroring that for you, for her. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And yes. You know what just comes into my mind? And she's giving this to her children if she has children too, right?
Well,
so she's passing this on, what's coming yes. from you.
Yes.
And that's an important part, I think, to really work on yourself, to stop here something if it's not the way you want it to be, right?
Yeah. That's, I feel like our daughters are just such a gift that we can be able to heal in this life.
Yes.
Everything. So,
Why do you think so many mothers struggle with letting go, even when they know they should? Can you think about a reason?
I feel it's like an inner thing that there's fear, there's mm-hmm. shame. There is probably a lot of fear. It's their inner voice that's just struggling because of some hurt, some pain, some trauma that's happened in the past that they mm-hmm. haven't identified yet. And so mm-hmm. I feel like they cling on to certain things to make them feel safe. And so if we look at the thing, the trauma, the pain, and we heal that, then we have more confidence. We know who we are. We trust the universe a little bit more. We trust mm-hmm. our life a little bit more. And so that we're willing to let go a little bit more, especially the ones that we love so much. And I feel like our daughters, they give us an identity. We feel like we can like relive it again, or we can like mm-hmm. do it. We can have a do-over, but it's not that. We can have a do-over by witnessing their beautiful life, but we can never have a do-over. So a lot of times mothers might feel a little bit angry. I had this too. Mm-hmm. They can feel angry. They can feel a little bit jealous. They can feel that they want to control their daughters in a certain way instead of allowing them to be, because of the shit that we didn't overcome as children. We mm-hmm. haven't had an opportunity to heal that yet. So I feel that's the controlling piece, because they don't know who they are yet. They haven't healed those past wounds yet. That's
Would you say there is a connection between those past traumas that you have gone through and your intuition? Or would you say this has nothing to do with each other? You can have had all those bad moments in your life, but still good intuition.
I feel the intuition can get stronger once we start to heal ourselves, because then we can trust ourselves more. We can let go more. There's more of allowance. There's more energy. But when we're constricted and trying to control, there's no movement for ourselves, who we are. But when we allow and let go and we become centered and more confident, then that energy channel, that intuition can be very activated. I feel like that is, if we understood that by getting out of our head into our heart and surrendering into our hearts, then our hearts can lead us through life. But when we're in control, we're all in our head, we can't go anywhere like that. Just like in birth, like you're trying to give birth and you're all constricted and scared, but yes. As doula, I mean, you learn to open their hands and open their mouths and then open up the womb and allow it to flow. That's in life.
Yes, that's so beautiful. I love this example because, that's it, to let go and really to be able to get out of your head, to not roll all the thoughts round and round, but instead get into your heart and let go and feel.
Yeah.
And feel yourself, actually, right?
And it's so, this place if we've been, haven't been able to feel, because we haven't felt safe as children. We haven't felt safe to explore. We might have been told, stop it. Don't react. Mm-hmm. You're so reactive. Mm-hmm. Because people felt uncomfortable or whatever their story was. It was innocent. But as little girls, we took that on, that this is not safe for me to be in my heart. It's not safe for me to express who I am. It's not safe for me to feel. And so, or a lot of times, girls might have had to be that surrogate mother for their mothers, that emotional bond for the mothers to make their mothers happy, because daughters always want to make their mothers happy. And so if we had this responsibility as a child to make our mothers happy, there was no room for us to explore our emotions or to be expressive. So there is a lot of room for cleaning up the stuff. And when our daughters get into these tween years, we begin to get triggered, but it's an opportunity for us to heal.
Yes. It sounds like. So sometimes I think, you have to become aware of all the situation in your past somehow that, yes, that here is something that has to be healed. Mm. Here is something that I have to work on. But this, requires a kind of awareness.
Yes, it does. And that's why I want to...
So where does it come from? Help us out here.
That's why I want to write a book. Because it's like we need to start having these conversations as women. I've run women's circles. I've been running them for 8 years. And it's like when women come together, I believe that we need to relearn how to listen to one another and support one and be vulnerable with one another so that we can get into our heart space. But when we're just chit-chatting and we're in our head and what we're going to make for dinner and then we're going to take the kids to soccer, it's really hard to get in your heart and talk about how you really are feeling and to get the support that you need and to get that awareness that might be happening. So I don't know. I had to do lots of therapy and I had to get really sick. Mm-hmm. I had to get really, really sick, where I could not ignore my body anymore. I couldn't ignore what was happening to me. And a lot of women, by the time, if they just keep going and going, when they start reaching the 40s, when their daughters are, transitioning into womanhood, you're going to see a lot of problems, mental problems, a lot of problems with their uteruses. I had fibroids and was literally bleeding to death. But there's a lot of thyroid issues, digestive issues that are coming up, anxiety. Mm. And because we cannot continue to stay in our head, we're going to have bigger and bigger wake-up calls. But this awareness sometimes does.
Which is not better.
with the shock, But unfortunately, that sometimes happens for women to wake up. And we have free will. So we can continue to you know, take medications and just keep going on the treadmill and going nowhere. But, you know, maybe that's the experience we're here. So I don't judge. I have compassion for everyone because I feel I can't say because maybe they came to here to have that experience, to feel all the anxiety. So maybe that's where they're supposed to be. But for most women, I feel like there's an opportunity to break out once we get into our hearts and have this awareness. And a lot of times it will take a crisis. It will take a divorce. It will take something with their bodies. It could take, you know, we have all these disasters on the planet happening that wake people up. So there's all these things that are happening all around us that can bring us back to what is this?
Yes.
Who am I? What am I doing? I need to get in my heart.
And also not to take this as negative, but to see this situation, if these situations may come up, not to say I'm a victim of this, but instead this is my opportunity to make a change, right?
Yeah. And I was a victim pretty much my whole life. And then once the illness came, that's when I really had to wake up and be responsible for myself. Because I felt like as moms, and I came from a very traditional family, it was more of like women just take care of everybody else but themselves. And I really had to take responsibility for myself and my actions and my thoughts in my body. That's why.
Yes, so wonderful, but you can give this to your daughter now too.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. And she can, take this and go in another life, right?
Yes, yes.
So what would you say, what's your advice for a mom who is watching her child make a terrible decision?
Pray.
That's good advice.
I have a son too, and I would love to share a story if I could. I am a student of Dr. Joe Dispenza and have been for a while. And the last retreat I went to, he brought a mother on to the stage, and she talked about how she meditated for months because she wanted her child, who was like 2 years old and couldn't walk, to walk again. And she totally believed in every cell of her body. The child ends up walking. There's a video of him on there and everybody's sobbing. Then we have to, you know, talk to our neighbor and talk about the mother's love, the power of mother's love and belief. So this woman next to me tells me a story about her son who's autistic and her belief about her son and how it changed. And I won't get into all the details. But for me personally, I had to really understand what is my belief of my children, especially my son. Who is having, you know, is making all these choices. You're just like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, how do you stop your child from running into a brick wall? And it's all about what I've learned is at this stage in the game is like, what is my belief system of my son? And mothers have such this energetic with their children, like energetically, we are sharing the same DNA. So could I energetically believe in him, and what is my belief? And I was so embarrassed after, you know, weeks of trying to figure out, because I did not want to see what my belief was about my son. And I believed that he was incapable. And it's like, oh my God, how can I think that? It was very embarrassing. But it's like, what if I changed my belief that he's capable and living his best ever?
Oh, and I get goosebumps. Yeah. Yes, that's so wonderful.
Energetically, it was changing things in me and changing things in my reality. So I believe believe with all of your cells, all of your heart, that your child is totally capable of having the best life ever. And for me, what I realized is that he is having his best life ever. It may not look like it to me. To me, it might look like he's going into a brick wall. But what I had to really change how I see him and how I see his world. It has nothing to do with me. Am I making sense?
Absolutely.
But I feel like we can, once we change our mindset and open our hearts, I see the world like so much different in his mm-hmm. world. And I just have so much compassion for him and so much more love that I thought I had. You know, it's just like that next level. But I believe looking at our belief systems and just like loving without anything. And mm-hmm. it's so powerful.
Oh, thank you so much. This is a wonderful story. I think this is, but it's getting to the truth, I think. It's the core of it all. So mm-hmm. if your child doesn't make the decisions, well, I would say that you like to let him or her make, and you would like to change this, it's about you and not about your child, right?
That's right. Yes. Like that mirror, he was giving me this amazing opportunity to love more and to have more compassion and open my heart more. It was a beautiful gift that I never, again, trusting the process and getting to that other side. And you're just, I mean, it just like humbly compassion, like so humble for that opportunity. And,
yes.
Yeah.
What happens when moms don't let go? What would you say? What are the long-term effects on kids?
Well, I came from one of those homes. I feel like there's going to be the child and the adolescents really wants to pave their own way. They really want to explore their outer world. And if we control them, I feel like we're catapulting them even farther from where we, you know, that is safe. Mm-hmm. So when we're controlling them, they're going to want to have their stake in the ground. I am an adult. Can you see me now? And these can mm-hmm. be very risky behaviors. You can see this with adolescents starting to smoke or drink or have mm-hmm. sex prematurely, taking risky behaviors, drugs, because they're like, can you see me now? Can you see that mm-hmm. I'm adult now? Like, it's going to be like, instead of embracing it slowly, you know, mm-hmm. I feel, and that bond is, the bond will always be there, but it's not going to be strong. The kids aren't going to trust you. It's mm-hmm. going to be hard for you to communicate, them to communicate to you. So if you're trying to control them and they're in a situation and they don't feel safe with you or they don't trust you, they're going to go to other people to get the information. And that's the scariest thing, because they love you the most out of anybody on this planet. And if they have to get information, and it doesn't matter if the mom has the right information or not, she's a safe place. But if she can't be that safe place, then it's just starting to find someone safe that they can mm-hmm. be. So that's what I feel that.
Yes, I can. I just try to, to think about my own way. And I think, you're provoking a kind of rebel, right?
Yeah.
If you don't let go, because if it's time to let go, they have to, they have to go.
They
do. So you don't do anything good here if you.
No. And there's a lot of the times there's a lot of guilt associated with controlling. There's mm-hmm. a lot of shame that can be done with controlling. There's a lot of authority that can be done with all of that. And this, mm-hmm. this just sits so, it's just so, how do I say it? You're putting these feelings and this energy in this little body mm-hmm. that will, they don't know what to do with those feelings. They just don't. Mm-hmm. They don't know. They feel unimportant. They feel unloved. They feel lost. They feel alone. And this can continue for the rest of their adulthood. And it'll continue. Mm-hmm. And partners that they choose, the friendships that they choose, the careers that they choose, the path.
Yes. I mean,
it'll continue in every facet of their body, of their life. Because they're mm-hmm. holding this shame and this victim, this aloneness. It can go in different. It can be the rebellion one. It could be the isolated one. It's all the same energy, but for each person, it'll turn into something looking a lot different.
Yes, I would say this too. So what, there is still this emotion that I can also, yes, feel if you don't let go. So what if my child doesn't come back to me? How do I handle the fear of losing them?
I know. I felt the same way when my daughter moved to London. You know, I felt like, you know, she's a young adult. She could live there for forever. We could never live close again. And I feel like it's a possibility that we have to let go of. You know, mm-hmm. it's another letting go. It's another surrendering. It's another trusting the process. Because anything is possible when we go through these big transformations in our life. And again, like we said in the beginning, it's like, okay, it's an opportunity. It's not like, okay, mm-hmm. they're going to move away and they may never talk to me, but there's something else. And what is that? And it's like, I'm talking to you. Like, I mean, there's things in my life that are, you know, I get to explore and yes. to, all this newness is coming into my life. So I never thought right. that would be happening when, you know, she was close by. And for her to see her blossoming into her own, that's a gift that I get, you know, I get to see. Mm-hmm. So I feel we just need to keep trusting the process, keep learning, you know, moment to moment about it. And I believe that our relationship is even deeper, even if it's through WhatsApp. I just keep trusting the process, and they may never come home, but they'll always be your child. But what if there's more for you to explore as a mom, like as a woman?
Yes.
What life? I mean, I've been traveling like crazy with freedom, you know? So it's an opportunity. There's so much. Mm-hmm. Life is so rich. You just have no idea where it's going to take you until you surrender into that.
Yeah. So beautiful. So what did your daughter teach you about letting go?
Oh gosh, trust.
Let's make a shift here.
Trust the process. Mm-hmm. There's something so more precious and beautiful and loving on the other side every single time. And I,
wonderful.
As I get older, I keep thinking, oh my God, is there more? And there's always something more.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Keeps me just keep trusting the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. I think this is so valuable for every mother here to explore more the connection and the relationship between you and your children, you and your daughter, as a mother to your daughter, with your daughter, to empower your daughter. And I think we could talk here a lot more, but time is running out now. What do you offer? Just let's talk about this. If people say, oh, Margaret is so wonderful, I would love to talk to her. I would love to get in contact. What's your offer? Where can people find you and reach out to you?
I'm on Instagram at Margaret Royce. I'm on YouTube. I have a website, margaretroyce.com, and I'll be starting one-on-one coaching later this spring to support moms through this time. And I would love to... you. And I'm also doing workshops, but they're more locally in Michigan. It's
okay.
a four-week workshop for girls, their mothers, and fathers. I teach the girls four different weeks. I have separate sessions for moms, a separate session for dads, and then a separate session for dads and daughters and moms and daughters. And it's all squeezed into 4 weeks, and it's absolutely
wow.
precious.
Yes, that's amazing. So, but people can find this on your website too, right?
Yes, they can. Margaret.
So I will place everything in the description, and you can be found from everyone who wants to get in contact.
And one thing I want to add is like when they're adolescents to keep this bond going and spend a lot of time with your daughter and make it intentional instead of, you know, thinking that driving them to school or taking them mm-hmm. to sports is it. I would say getting into nature, going on a date, making it intentional, going out for ice cream, even though you might get rolling eyeballs or, you know, they don't want to do this. But once they have you in this natural, calm setting, the conversations are going to keep going and she's going to be able to know that she can trust you more and trust you more, mm-hmm. trust you more. So I feel like, and that bond will get stronger and stronger and stronger. There's that. And there's also really cool journals, that moms and daughters can have back and forth, where I might journal something and then the daughter will journal something. And so in case communication isn't, you know, you're not comfortable about talking maybe about certain things, you can have this journal where you share back and forth, and maybe you can go on a date or go to a park or whatever and talk about it. So I feel like keeping that conversation, even though it's so uncomfortable, and I did a lot of praying, like, oh God, please, please just give me the strength to have this conversation. It'll take you places that you can't even imagine. So, and it all in a very,
yes. And I would say really to, yes, journaling with your daughter, writing with your daughter is a complete different experience.
Yes.
So just try this.
One thing, I mean, but just keep that communication going. Because I feel like if moms are coming from a place of hurt and pain that they can't express, and then they don't want to talk to their daughters, and then their daughters are automatically going to be slamming doors and don't want anything to do with you. But you have to keep it going. You have to be the mother. You need to show up. You need to do your work and show up. It doesn't matter. Just get the courage to do that, because she's waiting for you to be whole again.
Don't take it personal, right?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Margaret, for being my guest here.
Awesome. I appreciated it. Thank you so, so much.
Yes, and all the listeners, please subscribe and stay tuned.